More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. A loaded second hour here. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. On 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, and YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Friday commute is going okay, or your Friday hang is going all right. We got a Easter weekend ahead of us, so I know a lot of people are heading out of town or getting ready for the big egg drop here. You got to help those kiddos find those eggs, man. You never know where they're going to be hidden. A lot to get to. And by the way, did you ever have like a money egg? Did your parents do money eggs, or did you do Easter at all in your house?
We did Easter. Usually it was regular old Easter eggs, and then
like
there was
boiled?
Like a, and then there, yeah, hard boiled, and then there was like an Easter basket somewhere that had like a chocolate bunny in it.
No, oh, yeah,
jelly beans.
I've
and
said
stuff
before,
like that.
Chocolate bunny, the most overrated dessert we ever got as a kid.
Yeah,
because you'd see it, it had the color eyes, the carrot. You'd be like, oh my god, it's gonna be the greatest chocolate of my life, and it was always really overrated.
Yeah.
You'd eat the ear, maybe a little of the
it's
eye.
Hollow. It wasn't solid.
No, it's terrible.
Now you can. Now there's some places now that you know. There's some local chocolatiers in the market that will do.
Well,
a
yeah,
solid,
you want to go to like, them.
Dark chocolate,
yeah.
Bunny.
Give me a little flavor.
I
with
saw
it,
some
man.
Massive one at Costco the other day. It was like a foot tall.
I've seen it too.
Like
yeah.
15 pounds or something.
Yeah, but give me like the Reese's peanut butter egg shaped ones.
I was always a big fan. I liked Whoppers.
Oh, I like Whoppers.
And so they'd have the eggs that were Whoppers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I loved those.
Those ones are addicting.
Yeah.
I'm also pretty partial to the Cadbury egg.
I could only eat one of those.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't eat more than one. One is enough. If you're eating more than one Cadbury egg, you got a problem, and you need to talk to somebody
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, but when
that.
You're a kid, you don't know.
I actually, as a kid, even could only eat one. I'd be like, all right, like, I'm full now. That was enough. But a busy weekend ahead for everybody and a lot to get to. We got the Final Four we will discuss. We heard from all the coaches yesterday in Indianapolis. And I think one coach's fan base is going in going, cool, man, don't even know how to feel about you right now given everything that's ahead. And so we'll talk about that. I think everybody's most excited for Arizona and Michigan. I don't think that's a hot take, but Illinois-UConn is going to be
it's
a good basketball
game. It's
going
to be a great game. They both should be great.
But we have to start the second hour, Swigard.
Yes, we do.
Tom Dundon press conference.
I was riveted on my couch with my laptop up, taking the live feed. I had tried not to listen, not to formulate too many opinions about others. I just wanted to see him right there in front of a microphone taking questions.
Yeah, he he stepped to the mic. I was waiting for like a very traditional opening message.
There wasn't much pomp and circumstance, and I appreciated that.
He kind of just was like, I'm here, and
here
I like
am.
Business, and I bought a team, and we're going to win. And that was kind of just the
work
nature
to do.
Of it. Yes, 100%.
We got a lot of work to do, and I want to get to it.
So let's do this. Let's start here with Tom Dundon on, hey, I'm the owner now, and we're going to be expecting things to turn around and turn around quick.
We spent some time with Joe and Dwayne and the people that work for the Trailblazers, and we're very fortunate. It's a really good group of people. They care. There's nothing I don't think we can accomplish if we just start focusing on a little bit of improvement every day. And I feel like all the pieces are here. There's not something I'm worried about. Now it's just the only thing I'm kind of worried about is the speed and pace and intensity at which we're about to get going might be a little different, and we just got to get people there quickly.
So a lot of people hung on to the stadium, the lease, the money, all that stuff, and I understand it. That wasn't something I was particularly that interested in because I just think there's a lot of hoops to still go through, and I think ultimately
and he alluded to that. People were trying to get definitive answers, and he's like, I could not officially start really negotiating until I took ownership. We got a lot of work to do.
He also, I love that he was just point blank asked about the fear of moving because I don't see the cut here. And he was just like, dude, people said this about me when I went to Carolina to buy the Hurricanes that I was going to move to Houston. I didn't even think about that. He's not thinking about that. Enough. Can we take a 20-year break here of the fear-mongering, we're going to lose our team stuff? Everybody, media fans, everybody, can we stop now? It's, I think, abundantly clear that he has no interest in doing that. Another thing that is, I just loved his kind of tone of enough. We've gone 4 years, no playoffs. This is the year that hopefully we take the step to the playoffs. And even though we might be a 7 or 8 seed, we have higher expectations.
I think the main message for us right now is franchise hasn't had as much success in the past few years as it did historically. I think our expectation is that's starting to change and will continue to change. So I think the focus that's been the last few years around development, which is now around winning, right? And so we've tried to get this message through the last couple of days that was fun and probably necessary, but it's more fun to win and it's more fun to do the things that lead to success. And hopefully we'll start creating more habits that those processes lead to the kind of winning that I expect and I think everybody expects.
When you hear him talking about moving fast, obviously he's emphasizing winning in that clip, and he says, we have everything we need here. Is that the group, or are you taking that as like a subtle Joe and everybody, like there is no worry about that, at least for a while? Okay, you're eating breakfast in the middle of a segment instead of waiting for a commercial break. Have you done radio before?
I have, sorry.
Dear God.
You were playing clips.
Well, I know, but look at the... All right.
I took that to mean the front office structure internally.
I took that as like a vow of... I know he didn't say it, but I viewed it as like, these guys can do it. I believe in these guys.
Yeah.
And I think that's good news if you're Joe Cronin. That like... Yeah. And I've said this
He's not going to rock the boat there out of the chute.
Nope. I don't think there's any reason to. He's got to deal with all the political and the financial, and I think that's going to take a minute.
And that is more of his focus. And I think he feels like, no, I don't need to gut the front office of this team. I don't need, you know, Dwayne Hankins, obviously. He had said that the question came up about where they at with renovations and getting started, and
he wants to start this summer.
Yeah, some of that's already moving along. We got a lot more work to do to hammer out the details, and so I think Tom's like, okay, I'm going to come in and just give it more momentum to get people to get this thing further along, but he doesn't have to start from scratch.
That part of the press conference I kind of found a little funny because it seemed like Dundon's like, we're getting this done and we're going to start now.
Yeah.
And then they went to Dwayne Hankins, and Hankins was like, what he said. Because, you're not going to counter what the owner is saying. You got to get on it. You got to get on it now. Tom Dundon was also asked of the differences that he's learned. I think this was a Hyken question. The difference between the NHL and what he's learned so far about the NBA in terms of how to approach this as an owner.
So I've been warned a lot that the players are – it's harder to get through. They make more money. They have a bigger impact on the game. There's less players. You can give the ball to the good ones a lot. And making sure they're all of the same character and effort. And sometimes that's harder in the NBA, I'm told. And so far, I haven't seen it. Like, I've been very, very happy with the culture of the organization. You've got a bunch of, I assume you all know this that are fans, but the players here work hard. They care. There's no drama. It's really special relative to what my expectations were, because I didn't know other than what I was told. No different, you know, rumors, and you try not to listen to those things, but you can be impacted sometimes. But I don't think it's that much different than a company, than a basketball team, than a hockey team, right? You set expectations. You work hard. You want people with character and care and I don't think there's going to be any difference between here, there, and anything else that I do in life.
Yeah, so he's going to go into it just thinking like, yeah, there's an adjustment, but I'm Tom Dundon, and I win, and we'll figure that out. I would say, like, I love it. I liked a lot of yesterday. I want to hear from people. Did they like yesterday? Did they just go, I expected more? Anybody disappointed by that? I don't know how you would have been disappointed by the press conference. 503-864-6326. The only thing I would say of all the stuff I heard is specifically in that clip, people told you about it and you don't see it here. buckle up, dude. You got a long journey ahead of you. Yeah. You will see it in the NBA. Those people advising you on that are not going to be wrong. You will find out. All those players that you think are your friends right now and they're excited you're there, wait till you start contract
negotiations. Well, we'll wait and see. If the Blazers get into a playoff series and the Thunder or the Spurs hand it to him and he's like, okay, we need more talent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's going to press it too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's going to be on people. And he talked about, like, being the guy who has to trade somebody or move on is, dude, that's never easy.
No.
And I thought that was the most human thing he could have said of all the stuff. Like, he was asked if he was liked. He was asked this, that.
Yeah. Quick asked him.
Quick question start was
how
very
important is
I just
it?
Did my taxes. And I was like, oh, well, where are we going with
that?
That
was his
one?
second round of questions. Yeah.
But it was funny how he started that question.
Yeah.
What I would say, though, is like that was the most human part of like, dude, this sucks to do. Nobody wants to trade people. Nobody wants to say, we're going to move on from you. I thought that was a very human thing of him to do. Now, here is the scary part, right? And I know Morang asked a question that thought got a great answer.
Yeah.
And it made me kind of go, what? Which is leading to me, my whole takeaway from the press conference, my whole takeaway was from the Morang question and the answer we got. That being said, the fear of a new owner for any team in any league is always the shakeup. It's the being scared of what is he going to do with this person and that person, the roster. And when you look at the history of the league, you watch what these new owners do, they're almost certainly going to make a swing.
Yeah.
They like to get in there and say, I'm going to show everybody that I'm here and this is different. Right? You saw that with the Minnesota group, Rudy Gobert.
We saw it when Ishbia took over.
Ishbia with the Suns and the Bradley Beal, like roll of the dice, and that blew up in his face. But here he is, year two, they're in the play-in.
I think Dundon will be a little more measured.
Well, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I know one question Blazer fans had going in is, you have this background of being like the guy who changes this. That implies a little bit of a hands-on approach. And he was asked by the AP, are you a hands-on owner? Are you going to delegate? And this was his answer.
I don't know that it's not that cut and dry. You can be involved and delegate. You can be hands-on and also trust people. I don't trust anyone to make decisions without information and getting. Joe and I have had a lot of talk about this, and he actually does it. But there's coaches and there's scouts. There's analytics. There's a lot of people involved with running these businesses, making decisions. I don't expect to be the decision maker because the process creates obvious answers. But I'll push really hard to go through a process that doesn't leave anyone out and doesn't miss any variables.
So my interpretation of that is like very involved and informed.
Yeah.
Hands-on. I guess to a certain degree, you could probably say yes in some other senses of other ownership groups.
Right.
But look, I don't want Woody Johnson telling the coach
who he can
hire.
I don't think he's going to meddle. I think he wants.
I want somebody who cares, though. And I took that as I care.
But he's like, okay, you guys are the experts.
Yes. I will lean on you and your information.
Give me your expert advice. So if you go, if you're in the room and whatever decision has to be made, whether it's a roster thing, whether it's a renovation question about the Moda Center, something else.
Yep.
He gets his dudes in the room. You better be prepared when you go in there and say, because he's going to ask you direct questions.
Yep.
What do you recommend? What do you think we can do? What are our other options? What if it doesn't go? What if you can't do this? It's going to be that. And you better have your stuff buttoned up and make a recommendation. And if you convince him, he'll go with you. And then if it doesn't work or it doesn't turn out, you know, to be that, then look
out. Well,
he's
going to move the hell on.
Yeah.
I mean, if your information, he'll trust your information. He'll trust what you're doing. But the minute it stops working, I don't think that dude's going to hesitate.
Nope.
And he will bail and he will go find somebody who will figure that out. There's a couple other people that were on that press conference. We get to know them a little bit. I thought the character of the press conference was somebody who barely talked. And I want to get into that. And then I'll tell you at the bottom of the hour, my biggest takeaway from yesterday's, and I'm really curious how people viewed this. Are they super excited? Are they still nervous? Does he give you kind of this air of, maybe even if it is a little optimistic to say that, like, you legitimately believe this is going to change because this organization's been in a rut. I don't care how anybody in this market wants to frame it to you. It's a rut. Did you see last night? That was his first game at home. He's the new owner. It's a game where they beat a not-so-good team. They can be the 8 seed if the Clippers lose. Empty seats all over. I think the city has spoken this year. They're still really good in attendance, but they're like middle of the league good. And for the Blazers and their history, that's quite a fall. So I think the fans have kind of spoken to like, you know, and I'll be very curious. But the two individuals we didn't hear from in that segment, we'll meet them on the other side. And then I'll tell you my biggest of takeaways, 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. You can send in your thoughts, your feelings. Did Tom Dundon get you fired up? Do you think this is ultimately going to change? Do you believe it's going to happen really quickly? And your overall takeaways. You are welcome to text those in. It's a loaded second hour. We roll on with some more of the Blazers' new ownership press conference next on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Some good text coming in to the fan text line at 503-864-6326. One of them is a jealousy text that I want to – I'll read your text today. I'm going to get to the text. I want to see how everybody's feeling about this that watched that press conference or saw the clips online, or maybe you watched it live, or you watched it here on The Fan because Isaac Atsouk started the show. Set their clocks back quite a bit having to run that press conference, but they ran almost the entire thing. And so I know most of you out there have heard it. I've played a lot of these clips. There is one clip I'm going to hold from old Tommy D, but let's get to know some of the others. We have Shield Tile on this ownership group, Rip City Rising, and he talked about why he is a part of the ownership group with Tom Dundon.
I think folks often ask, you know, why did you do this? And to me, one of the most special things about sport in this country, in this state, in this city, is the power to bring people together. It doesn't actually matter where you come from, how you pray, who you love, etc. All that matters is on game day, is that in our case, it's all about the Portland Trailblazers. And that is something we feel passionately about in this ownership group, and is something that we think we need right now in this country, in this world.
The one thing that I always thought was a little odd, I think, as a media member, seeing other media members, was the idea of like the doom and gloom, they're going to move, they're going to leave, right? And look, you get an owner from Texas who owns a team in Carolina, and you got uncertainty in our politics here locally, and the money situation is bad. I get all of that aspects of it. The one thing I thought was odd was the fact that we knew there was a Portland-based individual being a huge part of this ownership group, as if like that didn't matter. Just ignoring the fact that Shield Tile lives here, that his wife is running the OHA, like, I don't know. I thought that was a really bizarre thing for the media to just overlook. And Shield Tile talked about loving living in the city of Portland.
Second thing I want to talk about is Portland. Portland is my home. Our daughter, Sia, who will be here today, she's taking her second nap right now, so actually we'll see if she makes it, was born at OHSU, you know, not too far away. And this place, I know Tom might not think so, but I think has the best food in the country, and is just an incredible place to live. We called our ownership group Rip City Rising for a very specific reason. We could have called it other things. Could have called it Rip City Stabilizing. We could have called it Rip City Reminiscing. We called it Rip City Rising, and that was a unanimous decision all of us made. And it was because we believe Portland was a world-class city, and it can again be a world-class city, and then potentially ascend beyond that. We think the Blazers can and should play a small role in that, and we're really excited to do that with all of your guys' help.
And, you know, however you feel about those comments, like, I actually think that resonates with a lot of people, because we know the city needs a lot of work and they're in a really tough spot right now. Some of this is no doubt, man. Like, sports can be a little, I guess, over-talked about in some ways, but I think he's right of, like, when this team is rolling, it just makes everybody in the city feel a little different. Now, we have a lot of political navigating to get through here. Yeah. There is no doubt about that. But I just love that Shield Tile was basically telling you, I live here. I love it here.
I think we're going to see him be the public face of the ownership group eventually.
Oh, he's going to be at most
He'll
of the games.
He'll be all over the place.
You know who won't be at any of the games, and I don't think we're ever going to hear from him again as long as he's a part of the ownership group. Andrew Cheung, who was the star of the press conference, if you were watching it in the right perspective.
I got things to do.
So, yeah. my jet leaves. Can you wrap this up? So Andrew Cheung is based down in L.A. He is the Panda Express CEO. And he was asked how he got involved. And I just loved the demeanor. He had the folded arms with the hoodie on. Like, he just could not care less.
More the disapproving father.
And here's Andrew Cheung asked, how did you get involved with Tom Dundon?
I'm a fan. And actually, I was not thinking of this way because I don't live here, right? You know, so, and as a Chinese, I love the fact that we have a prospect in Hanson Young, you know, so it got me thinking. And Tom is a winner, and he's done a wonderful job with his previous team. So, you know, we have a winning combination here. And then NBA is a popular sports in China.
Ching.
Well, Yong ain't getting moved anytime soon.
Supermax, Yong Hansen, line one. Better learn Portland, buddy. You're going to be here a long time. That's why I put him on the list. It wasn't just that I think you're going to trade him. It's just like, dude, this guy might be here legitimately 8 seasons if Andrew Cheung is going to continue to be part of the ownership group, which I have no reason to believe he won't be. Also, I was thinking about this because Dundon was asked, I think, by Willamette Weekly, if I have that right, about his past experience with the Hurricanes and the district and building it up around.
Yeah.
I did love how coy he was. Oh, you know, I really looked into it, but it's a hobby of mine, and, you know, I'll dive into that. It's like, dude, come on. You know you're going
to
want to build
that district. He'll get to it. I just think that's...
I don't think it's something he hasn't thought
He knows. It's not something he hasn't...
That
you
entire
know.
Area needs a massive facelift.
But I know the first thing he's got to do is figure out how to get more wins out of the roster and put butts in seats and then get the arena itself to the state that they want it.
I will tell you my biggest takeaway and how it is kind of involving what you're talking about there. I think there's a way where that is a priority, but he is also going to be just as zeroed in on the other stuff, right? You need to get the funding, the renovation for the stadium. Yeah. He admired the stadium. He just said it's dated. There's no doubt. Yeah. And if you've been to other venues, you can see where it's and how it's dated.
No, the bones of the arena are great.
They're great. But the district, I think, is going to be a priority because it's a way to make more money.
Exactly.
I'm going from thinking we're going to have Panda Express inside on the concourse, and we very well could.
Oh, you think there's going to be something right outside?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be shocked if there wasn't.
Yeah.
When they build up the district and you know, bring this area back or at least make it relevant for the first time in everybody's lives. Yeah, I would imagine there's going to be one. I loved him. That is just a guy that's like, I want to make money.
Yeah.
We have a Chinese player. I'm Chinese. Yeah. Here we go. We're
NBA's
all in.
Big in China.
Big in China. Do, re, mi, coming my way. Cha-ching.
Let's go.
Now, let me ask you this before I tell you what my biggest takeaway of the press conference is. Will we see Andrew Cheung again?
Yes.
When and why?
That's a good question.
The ribbon cutting at a Panda on the concourse?
So either that or...
our promotion needs to be a small to-go box of Panda Express for free. I've been on the McDonald's
Yong
thing.
At a walk serving up orange chicken.
Well, we don't need to do that. Actually, I'd rather have him down being a good basketball player.
In good time.
That will happen next year. But we need to get Panda Express certificates here.
Oh, yeah.
And how much longer until this becomes the Panda Express Center?
I don't know.
Do you think that's around the corner?
I
just wonder how much of this like stuff they're going to give themselves versus seek out
getting
the most.
See, I don't think so. I think Tom Dundon wants all the revenue streams.
All the money.
So unless there's a separate deal with Panda Express and they're, you know... But I think he wants to tap into every single revenue stream.
Oh, there's no doubt
possible.
About it. Yes.
So doing an inside deal doesn't really help.
They made this abundantly clear yesterday. This is about business.
Yeah.
And part of the business for Dundon is winning. And I'll tell you what the biggest takeaway that I had, and it's a reason for optimism and something we haven't had happen that I'm fully convinced is right around the corner. And I'll tell you what that is. Coming up next, you can chime in with your thoughts of the Dundon press conference at 503-864-6326. We'll read some thoughts of the fan text line just around the corner as well. My biggest takeaway from the Dundon press conference and why you should feel good about it next on The Fan. Talking some Tom Dundon, the press conference was yesterday. Your thoughts are welcome of Dundon's press conference. Are you doom and gloom? Are you still weary that the Blazers will move cities? You worried about the renovations, the money, all of that? Did you feel encouraged? What were your overall takeaways from the Tom Dundon press conference? You can chime in to the Fan text line at 503-864-6326. We'll talk about the Final Four today as well. We got that this week, and I'm pretty excited about that. Got the ladies' Final Four. It's going to be a good ladies' Final Four. You want to watch some good basketball? These are the best four teams in college.
In the building on the 80s. We keep pulling TVs out of nowhere. Like, every time I look up, there's two more TVs on a wall in this building.
And the TV situation's interesting here now.
Yeah.
We have them on different walls and different spots. But, so we got some basketball ahead of us this weekend that's pretty big. But Tom Dundon press conference yesterday. So a lot was said. We got to know Tom Dundon a little bit. We had only seen quotes, and we had, like, kind of takeaways of that of, oh, seems a little red-assy. Look, I took away my biggest takeaway of all of it. Isn't money, it's not arena stuff. That stuff has to be sorted out. There's just no other way around it. My biggest takeaway is this, and I want to play this clip for you because this has been stuck in my brain for almost 24 hours. Tom Dundon, and this was old Morangutang asking the question of, like, how do you change? You talk about wanting to win and move fast. How do you do that? And here was Tom Dundon's response.
It's really difficult in these situations to have an actual plan. I think our plan is to work hard, make good decisions. And Joe had a deal that he looked at the trade deadline that I was aware of that would have been what you described as a big splash. And if that opportunity exists, I'm probably more aggressive than most.
And so that was not all the clip that I thought was going to play. He also alluded to having a trade that Joe presented him. And he basically was like, oh, okay. And then Joe didn't make it. This is my biggest takeaway. And I'm going to end up probably looking like a fool because here I am being a Portlander, believing everything great. I think we're getting a massive trade this summer.
Ah.
I think that is abundantly clear. And that's not even, I think, the hottest of takes. This dude wants to win. You're not bringing this roster back as is and winning next year. That's just not happening. If Joe Cronin had a deal and Tom Dundon knew about it.
Right.
And seemed to say, if I was owner, we would have done it. I'm led to believe one thing. Yeah, they're going to make a huge swing this summer. I don't know who that is. You can fill in the blank if you want.
It takes two to tango.
It does take two to tango. You can say it's Harden, whoever you think that was at the deadline. Nobody's reported it, so who knows? But he said it was a big trade. It is abundantly clear that is happening. Now, you may not believe in Joe Cronin as a general manager. The track record is 4 years, no playoffs. I kind of understand why some people wouldn't. But his answer also reveals something to me that is a little alarming. I thought his tone in general was he thanked Jody and the Vulcans for all their years of ownership and stewardship. He also, I thought, kind of in a roundabout way said, you guys have kind of not cared for a while.
Exactly.
And I don't think he said that directly, but it was pretty obvious the tone in which he talked about the organization when he stepped in.
Caught my ear, and I was like, so... And then my initial question was, there was two, is, okay, so did... the other team not
so here is my follow-up on this,
or did somebody else nix it?
It makes zero sense. I'm being serious here. You're gonna have to explain why would it make sense for them to have a trade in place,
right,
knowing he's gonna own the team in 2 months from that point?
Not do it,
especially if he reached out and said, hey, look at this trade, and he's like, I love it, I would do that. It makes no sense. So I'm almost wondering if he kind of just misspoke a little bit of like, hey, here's the framework of a trade that the team might be interested in versus this is the trade I can do.
Is it on the table, or this is what we're going to go propose?
And I know that Jody's had a lot of defense of like, well, she's not gotten in the way and she's not said no and she's okayed this and okayed that. And I know I did the spiel on the broadcast and I'm worried about losing radio and media have brought that up, and I'm like, this last ownership group also came in and fired Mike Barrett and Mike Rice.
Yeah.
How'd that sit with people? they also made a broadcasting change. They got a Seattle-based guy to be our lead broadcaster, okay? So the last group wasn't afraid of making changes you may not agree with. This dude certainly is going to. He wants to win. He wants to win now. I am fully convinced they are making a massive move this summer, whatever that be, whoever that be. And we're going to have to wait to see all the details of it, but I think it's absolutely happening. And I think he made that abundantly clear with his tone about the trade deadline and whatever it was, the framework of a trade or a trade that was sitting there, because it doesn't make any sense you'd have a trade knowing the new owner would sign off on it and not make it. Why would the Vulcans even say no to allowing that to happen? So I tend to think it's the framework and not so much this trade, because why wouldn't you just make it then? If the new guy is okay with it and he's all in, now you got to revisit in the summer if it is indeed a Giannis, if that is indeed who it was. We'll
see
if they revisit in the summer.
That was the first name that popped into my head.
There's only two names at the deadline that are massive. It was Giannis and James Harden. And the James Harden one kind of surprised people. Yeah. But around there, around L.A., there was reporting that it might happen. The Giannis one was the most obvious.
Right.
And he didn't get moved.
And was that because Milwaukee balked at the last minute and wouldn't do it? Or did somebody internally not do it?
I don't
know.
He kind of let a cat out of a bag with this answer because he was like, we'll have to revisit it in the summer. Who is going to probably be revisited about moving in the summer? That'd be Giannis. So I don't know if it's a Giannis, but I do think a massive trade's going to happen. And oh, by the way, what would a massive trade tell you, Swag, about their thoughts on the current team?
Well, depending on how much of it gets shipped out, it needs to be upgraded.
If you're making a massive trade, thank you. Exactly my point of you're
in purgatory. He was asked about roster building.
And yeah, he was.
This is just a little snippet. I don't know if this is all of it, but yeah.
Joe and I have talked about this a lot. There's no one way this is going to go for sure. If we get a star, we have a chance to win. If we can't find a star,
you
then we
got
to add some pieces and hope some things develop. And if that doesn't work, then we got to try again with a new plan. And I think there's equal chances for all those things to happen.
So look, I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody here. This is just all opinion for me. I'm almost wondering, is there a little bit of like, Joe had to trade Dame because it got to that point, and that's kind of self-inflicted. Made the Denny trade. The Denny trade in the moment like was a little bit of like, whoa, you're giving up a lot for Denny Avdija. Not really a massive trade by any stretch.
No.
And now Denny has become an all-NBA caliber player, all-star at the minimum, right? When you talk about big, huge swinging trades, like they're going to trade the third pick for Zion Williamson, like Jaylen Brown, right? Revisit that narrative. That is a massive trade. That is a big swing. I'm almost wondering how much of this was hands tied behind the back a little bit. And I'm not saying Cronin is not at blame or fault.
Right.
But I am wondering if we go into the summer and then he makes a massive swing, I'm going to look back at the last ownership group and go, what was going on there? Were you guys just cool being whatever and then just cashing checks and waiting and waiting and waiting until you sold the team? And so Dundon gets it day one. You need a star to win. There's no doubt about that in this league. And
that's the quickest way to get things toward where you want to go.
The easiest takeaway from yesterday should be for everybody. They are making a huge move this summer because this is not good enough for Tom Dundon and the ownership group. Abundantly clear.
Yeah.
That was my biggest takeaway from all of the stuff that was talked about.
I expect there to be plenty of activity, whether they can do it in one trade or they got to make a few moves.
I don't care how you get there. Just get there.
There, or there's moves and they end up with a top three pick.
You're not getting a top three pick.
I don't think they are.
Those teams, whoever those three teams are not trading out of that. Name anybody on the roster. You want Denny? I don't care. We're taking the pick. Those teams are not trading out of that pick. Top four, you're not even going to move up to top five, I think. I think all of those teams, unless there's a back-end lottery team that somehow hits it, that kind of needs to win now versus like the slow build.
Yeah.
You ain't getting in the top five of this draft. This draft's too good, and next year's draft sucks. So I think those bad teams are going to say, yeah, thanks. We don't need Denny Avdija, Donovan Kling, and Scoot.
Well,
whatever.
And especially if they end up in the playoffs and don't have a first
No doubt
pick.
About it. So I'm pretty excited about it. I thought his tone was good. I thought he was authentic.
Yep.
Shield Tiles tie-in makes me feel pretty good about it. There's a long way to go with stadium stuff. But overall, my biggest takeaway is like Tom Dundon is going to be signing off on what I think is going to be a huge trade this summer for the Trailblazers. What was your takeaway? Did you feel that? Are you still nervous? 503-864-6326. We'll read some thoughts on Tom Dundon's press conference from you guys out there. And then at the top of the hour, we'll dive a little bit into the Final Four. We're back with more on 105.1 The Fan. All right, we'll get to the Final Four coming up in the third hour of the radio program. I've got an individual in a different state that needs to be... We need to maybe tar feather. We need to go back. We need to go old school a little bit with some of these people. And he became quite the jackass on the internet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this was a Magic Hat leftover of audio that I want to get to coming up. But we've talked a lot about the Tom Dundon press conference. Actually, the whole second hour has been Tom Dundon. Also, side note that we may get into in the 9 a.m. hour may get a little squirrely.
It's Friday at 9 a.m. We're going to have, I don't know how productive the office is going to be. We got a client party today.
What is the most overrated Easter candy?
Jelly beans.
What is the best Easter candy? We can get into that on the fan text line. But let me read some thoughts. I got to go through these. Some of these texts come in and they get broken up. Somebody's calling me Charlie Brown. I'm just waiting for Lucy to put the football down so I can go kick it. She could lift the ball again, and then we're going to roll it out and be like, well, it's the same team as last year, except now we got Dame. And I'll be like, damn it. Look, I haven't always done this.
No.
I think I've been off the idea that they're going to make a big move.
You have very much been.
Since.
Because Dirt's been the one that got to make a move. They got to make a move. They got to move. They got to move. And you're like, not their history.
It's not. And look, the thing that did it for me was, I'll never forget, I did the draft with Danny, and we went out. I forget where we went, but Isaac and Suk were out there.
We're at Bricks.
No, it
wasn't
Bricks.
Was that the Wemby?
It was the rooftop draft.
Oh.
It was the Wemby Scoot draft.
Okay.
And I remember going into that thinking...
Oh, we were at Bricks for the draft lottery.
Yes.
Yes.
But the draft itself, we were on a rooftop place.
10 barrel?
No. It was on the east side, actually.
No.
Anyways,
okay.
I remember going into that draft thinking they might actually trade it for Jaylen Brown or Zion, which that was a big debate in the moment. And they took Scoot, and then 23 came, and they kept that too, and they drafted a guy who can't shoot the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Murray has one ability, offensive rebounding, and that's kind of it. I don't think he's that great of a defender. He can help. He's good on help side defense.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a great one-on-one. So let's read a couple thoughts here. Okay. Who do the Blazers have on the roster that's really worth a mega trade? Even exactly, nobody's going to give us a top five pick for anybody on the roster. To which I would say, when I say a mega trade, I mean, you're not maybe talking about the best player in the league here, but the pick stuff matters when you're talking about big trades. Okay? You've got Scoot for some team out there, if they're in a position of selling off, could view Scoot as like, oh, the number three pick that didn't pan out, that might pan out for us because our roster's different and his minutes will be increased. You've got all the Milwaukee stuff, okay? You got your own picks involved. You go through it. Shaden?
Yeah.
I tend to think they're not going to want to trade Tomani, but it depends the caliber of player here. They're not without anything. And it's not to say they have the best possible trade package of all the teams. I'm just telling you, I think they're going to make a huge shakeup. And what they have, maybe it's not better than San Antonio. It certainly is not going to be better than the 95 first-round picks that the Oklahoma City Thunder have, and the 95 players it feels like they have roster-wise. But it is not nothing. And to dismiss the idea that Portland could be involved, I think would be a mistake.
And I haven't done enough research to see which teams are flirting with going over the second apron and the potential. Those are the teams that you go look at. How many high-priced, you know, top-level talent contracts are there? And are, you know, what's the ownership group situation? Are they in a crunch? It's like, we're going to have a massive luxury tax bill. Can we justify it? Are we that close to really contending? Or do I need to move something because we can't financially do all this if we're not feel like we're going to finish in the top three in our conference?
Somebody says, Dundon reminds me of NHL hockey players, which is pretty fitting considering where he's coming from. No nonsense, personal accountability, hard work, respectful, humble. That's my take. The NBA would be a better product, and hopefully the Blazers can get their culture to match that.
Yeah.
And I, yeah, that's kind of my thing, is he just stepped to the podium. Like, I was really waiting for the generic, good morning, good afternoon, happy to be here. He just was like, no. I own the team.
We got a lot of work to do.
We got work to do.
I want to get right to it. I want to go as fast as I can because the getting there part is hard to stomach sometimes.
I thought it was really cool of him, too, to have that moment of like, dude, I know how lucky I am to do this. Like,
yeah.
To be in an ability where you never thought you'd be an owner, and look at you now. You own two sports franchises.
And he doesn't want to waste it.
No, he does not want to waste it. Somebody says, I took it as Tom saying on the trade part that they'd be aggressive and not that Cronin refused to trade. Also took it as him saying the trade has to make sense and not just doing it for the sake of doing it. Yeah, I'm not suggesting Joe didn't. He just overall refused. I'm just kind of curious, when you say something like that, can you revisit that trade, whatever the framework of it is, right, in the summer? And I'm getting a lot of like, oh, we've heard this before. I'm telling you guys, I'm not always the next deadline. Some people do that. They tell you that every year. The next one. When you talk about winning and winning quickly, the way he did, and turning this around,
the quickest way to do it is,
it's not coming back next year with just Dame and saying this is good.
Making a big deal.
They're going to be in the same spot next year, if not maybe worse, because some other teams might load up and get better than you. So I know. I understand that I look like Charlie Brown right now, and all of you are Lucy holding the football, and you're waiting for the summer. You're going to wait for September, and you're going to go, hey, Sprague, look what we got here. And you're going to lift the football, and I'm going to go to kick it, and I'm going to fall right on my ass. I understand that that's what's looming here with my take, but I have no other reason to believe that something won't be happening that's going to shake it up. Now, is that going to be Giannis? Is that going to be, I don't know, Bam Adebayo? I don't know, but I do think it's going to be a big trade. And I think that's the fastest way to win.
Well, also, Dundon's not fixated on it has to be this one player or nothing.
No, he's not.
If you've got anything, he's
like,
what are all of our options? How do we make this team better? Okay, is that guy available? What does the trade look like? What do we have to give up? How does the roster play out?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, head coach, whoever, how does that adjust how you need to play? What does it look like?
Yep.
That's the meeting with Dundon. It's like, okay, option A, option B, option C, option D. How does it all play out? How does it change? Which option, if we get to pick, do you think makes us the best version of ourselves and gives us the best opportunity to be contenders right away?
Somebody says they're worried that Bert and Jody are still involved. I wouldn't be.
No, he's making the decisions. He's the governor.
He is not going to listen
now,
to Jody.
Now, Bert might be around to introduce him to people and do that, but no, Tom's in charge.
Yeah, somebody asking, is anyone on the roster untouchable? I mean, in my opinion, no.
Well, I think Dame's untouchable, but that's for contract reasons and other reasons, not playing reasons.
Dame's the emotional untouchable.
Right. And I think if they broached moving, he would retire.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. But no, I don't think this roster is full of untouchables. I wouldn't suggest that. It just depends what the deal is, man.
Yeah.
And this dude wants to win, and he wants to win now. So I totally get the skepticism of people out there and not buying into, oh my God, we're gonna be, I don't even know if we're gonna be in title Western Conference contention. I'm not suggesting that.
No.
The guy does win. He does have a little bit of a track record. And he came in yesterday, no nonsense. He ain't trying to be your friend. He was asked if he was liked, for God's sakes. And he was like,
He said it's
what
lower.
Did he say?
We've got
it. I don't want to play it's too long, but he basically was like, I care more
it's
about
not as high on the priority list.
What did he say? I care more about my moral character than my reputation or something? Like, he basically was like, it's not a high priority.
No. I mean,
you don't need him to be
your friend. He's not intentionally trying to, you know, piss people off.
You're going to largely not see him. You might see him in the next couple of weeks because of all the stadium.
Yeah, and he said that. He said, I'll be around more just because there's so much I need to take in for myself and information and people I need to get introduced to and that sort of thing. But he said once he makes the changes in the mechanisms for the process that he wants to see, then he will get out of the way, let all those people that he's chosen to do X go do X, and then report back to him.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just think I left with a lot of optimism yesterday.
That was what I got.
I have felt so down about this whole situation, and I know some Blazer fans have been upset, and
he is one that's far more action over words. I'll sit up here, and yeah, he understands I'm the new owner. People need to hear it from me, directly from me.
It's his priority, man. He owns the Hurricanes and the Blazers. You know, like
he's probably going to be busy in May and June because the Hurricanes might.
They're the number one seed, man. Yeah, they might be in a cup.
They clinched their playoff spot yesterday.
Imagine that guy coming over after winning a Stanley Cup going into the NBA offseason. Yeah. You don't think he's going to go, all right, I did it over there.
Yeah.
That felt great. What are we doing over here? Got to get the arena stuff figured out. Got to get the lease, all that. But a clear set to me with Tom Dundon as the owner is it's time to win and it's time to give a damn.
And let's get the ice machine and let's get a Hurricanes Kraken preseason game in the building and let's do some other stuff.
You think we're going to have a Hurricanes Kraken preseason game?
Why wouldn't you?
Smart idea. Have we ever done an NHL preseason game?
Yeah, the Kings and the Canucks played here decades
ago. So the arena's built in 95. What year was it? Do you remember?
It was a long time. It was shortly after that. But yeah, there's been an NHL preseason game.
Kraken Hurricanes game out here because the owner and the Kraken are close. I'm all in on that. Yeah. I'd go to that. So there we go. Some Tom Dundon good thoughts coming in at the fan text line still, 503-864-6326. We have a loaded third hour. The final four is this weekend. We'll pause from the Dundon stuff. The final four this weekend, and I continue to drum this up. What a weird weekend for this team and this fan base. Loaded third hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.